I want you to look to your neighbor and say, are you tired? Well, it's time to get over it. It's time to get over it. But say it in love now. Say it in love. Don't be offending nobody in the house. Just say, hey, just get over it. Just get over it. As you get over it, I'm going to get over it. And together, we're going to overcome it. I thought about going into some worship, and the Lord said, no, they came in all pumped. I think they came in thinking that this was maybe a Zumba class or something. We had people getting ready to do some running in here and doing some laps. Well, I just tell you what, sometimes we just got to quit walking around with our head down and walk with our head up. But when you're tired of walking, look to your neighbor and say, it's time to run. You've been trotting along long enough. No, tell your neighbor, you've been trotting along long enough. Now it's time to run. Now, why do we run? Because we run with purpose. We run because we're getting somewhere. We're not going to stand still. We're not going to lay down. We're not going to quit. Matter of fact, we're going to overcome. Sometimes we just happen to go through a season of transition that is just like, whoa, that transition, I get a little bit tired of that, but we're going through. How many of you have witnessed some mountains in your life, huh? Have you been driving down I-10, just driving towards El Paso, and you see all kinds of mountains, right? These ain't mountains. Those are what you call little rock hills, little hills. Called the hill country. Get up to Colorado a little bit. Get up there where the elevation is just to the point where you have a hard time breathing. I'm getting somewhere. Just get past your chance. You get up to the elevation when you're getting higher, you have a hard time breathing because the air is too thin. But sometimes you have to just sit back a little bit and rest. And when you begin to rest and catch your breath, you have the ability to go a little bit further. But if you've been trying to climb your mountain and not have take that time to get rest, you've been winded. Winded. And when you're winded and you keep on going, you're about to pass out. You need to get the oxygen inside your body. As Madea would say, give me some of that oxygen. It seems to me like Christians today are walking around without having the oxygen in their life to give them that extra pep in their step. Because we lose the very breath that God has given us. We say, well, how do we lose our breath? Because you've been hit in the gut with the circumstances in your life. You ever been in a fight? Don't answer because y'all know y'all are holy. Y'all don't fight in here. I know that. But if you ever been in a playground fight and somebody get hit in the stomach, you're like, whoa, hold up now. That's not fair. Hold up. Hey. Let me catch my breath. Give me a minute. Let me catch my breath. The enemy don't fight fair. He don't fight fair. Now, if you've ever been in a fight, y'all are holy. Y'all don't fight. So let me just explain something to you. When you get into a fight, you about to do whatever you got to do to win. But why is it when we get saved, we don't want to fight no more? We believe that because we're saved, that we have all the victories that God is sending our way. God says you're going to have to learn how to fight. You're going to learn how to scratch. You're going to have to learn how to bite. You know how we do. Get that enemy all up on you. Get real close. I'll be like Mike Tyson. I'll bite the ear off of you. Get me in the clutches and you're about to go down some way or another. Because I ain't going to lose this fight. So don't give up the fight. And if you get hit in the stomach, it's a gut check from God. Then it ain't your fight alone. Ha! It ain't your fight alone. You've been fighting for your whole family and you've been tired for a little bit. You've been tired because you've been hit. God says, I'm about to bring them to a place where God has called them to be. And when I bring them to that place where I called them to be, I'm going to move some junk out of their life. I'm going to move some influences away from them. And I'm going to bring them to that place where you've been on your face for. They're anointed and called by God, says the Spirit of God. And because they're called by God, there's some things that come against them because of where you're going. Don't quit, baby. You've been gut checked for a few minutes. God said, I'm turning that thing around. I'm turning it around. Because your faithfulness in the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Stay on your face, baby. You got some minstrels that sit next to you that are called of God to continue to bring the presence of God in. But sometimes he has to bring you out of your comfort zone to get you to a new place. But every now and then you start to lose your breath because you've been praying so long, praying so hard that you can't even pray in tongues no more because it's just so hard. I will give my life for my children, says the Spirit of God. I gave my son like you gave your son. You gave your daughter. You've given everything that you could give. But God's about to turn it around for them. Turn it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Wait a minute. We haven't even read a scripture yet. Wait, what? Is this church or did we come to a Zumba class just to get our praise on? Huh? But God has a way of just kind of messing some order up just so he can just speak because he wants to speak. But I remember a story in the Bible that says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." It ain't just the preacher. It's not just the one that holds the Bible underneath their arm. It's the one that says, "I am listening to the Spirit of God. And if you want to speak, speak. If you want to move, move. If you want to stay still, stay still. But I'm going to do as my Father does in heaven. For what I see him do, I do. What I hear him say, I speak. All what I see in the heavenly realm is going to be done here in the earthly realm. We are not a people to be so still and just say, "I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on Jesus. Jesus don't come and went, baby. You better get up and get moving to what he called you to do. Quit sitting around and holding on." Because he's tired. He's tired of seeing his children get beat up, get whooped. He said, "Get up and fight. Get up and fight. I've called you to be warriors. Warriors. Don't come in looking all holy and sanctified. And don't mess with my weave. And don't mess with my clothes. Because I just went to the laundry and I just had them all pressed. A matter of fact, I put that extra starch in them so I can look so sharp." We so stiff-boarded in the church that we can't even move around. He says, "Can I just wreck yourself? Huh? Can I wreck your theology, wreck your religion, and just wreck everything about you? Because what we've been taught for so long is you've got to be prim and proper when you come to the house of God." Mm-hmm. Really? Have you noticed my friend Peter in the Bible? Went to the church with a sword. John the Baptist came in with camel's hair all over him. He wouldn't eat regular food. He would eat the locusts and the honey. What? Are y'all willing to eat something? Maybe we got to change the appetite of what we've been reading and what we've been just soaking in into our bodies that's not even right for us. Maybe he's changing what we need to put into our body. Maybe he's dealing with some folks about what they're eating and what they're not eating. Maybe he's dealing with you and telling you you got to go get yourself some raw meal. Some of y'all don't know about that raw meal stuff. Y'all don't know about that. But maybe he's just telling you you got to go over there and start eating some organic food. Organic. But God, that costs a little bit too much. Organic, huh? Organic. But I don't have the money to buy the organic stuff. But you sure do have the money to go get that six pack on Friday, don't you? You sure do got that money to go and get yourself those cigarettes every day after work. Or even you got to take your break just to go get a smoke break. And we're losing all kind of productivity in work because we're so busy just going to get our fixes. Well, that's not the message today, but let's just stay right here. We always want to just do what it feels good to our flesh. Flesh. When it feels good don't mean it's good. It just felt good for a minute. And when it feels good for a minute, that don't mean it's going to be good for you. Because the last time I remember when I went to go eat a Whataburger, double burger, double cheese and all that good stuff. And it would just happen to be yesterday. Boy, I was sick to my stomach. Had a headache. And I said, "Lord, give me, go ahead. Let me get the fries and get the spicy ketchup too. I'm going to eat the whole thing because God has been good to me." Don't you know I had to lay on my couch? "Oh, Lord. Mommy, mommy, my stomach hurts. Oh, oh, eh, corobosica bababasa. Why are you praying to me, boy? I told you not to eat that burger, but you wouldn't listen. I told you not to get that big old iced tea. You wouldn't listen. And then all you wanted to do was just cry, moan, and groan because it hurts so bad. I never told you to put it into your body." Huh? Let me just wreck all kind of religious folks in here. Where'd that preacher go? I don't know where he's at, man. I don't know what's going on. Daniel, I just happened to go to Whataburger just yesterday with my son. And, you know, I figured, well, we're going to celebrate. This just happened to be Saturday, son's day. We're going to go and we're just going to watch a movie or something. Baby, just drop us off at Whataburger. I'm just going to give me a chicken sandwich. You know, just something. Like got me a double burger. A double. I ain't eating beef and I don't know how long. And my body reminded me it's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all say, water, what are you talking about Whataburger for? Because sometimes you put things into your spirit when you begin to seek after things that are not of God, and it begins to do an effect into your body, and then you wonder why you're going through all the mess that you're going through. What you listening to, what you watching, and what you allowing into your temple here. Be careful, because not everything that you hear to be godly is not godly. You've got to get back to the word and be able to see where it's coming from. Oh, because it does come in like an angel of light, but for deception only. Oh, wait a minute now. Are you the elect of God? Yes, because he called you to be the high priest in the kingdom of God. So if the elect can be deceived, that tells me that we're going through a season of deception. But I'm here to serve notice to that deceiving spirit. Gospel stands forevermore. And then when the light comes in, it does shine and expose the darkness. And you're about to see the fruit that is about to come forth, because light has exposed the darkness. And I know what I feel in my spirit. If something wants to come after me and come after this church and come after you, I'm going to stand my ground, take my post. I'm going to say, God, because you called me into this season, I'm going to pray for the people of God, and I'm going to pray for those that are going through. I ain't going to pray for myself. Somebody else got to pray for me, because what I do unto others, it'll be done unto me. In the manner which I judge, it'll be judged back to me. But I know if I give my heart and I continue to pray and fast for the people of God, for the kingdom of God, we're about to see some change into the kingdom of God. We ain't gonna sit down and let the spirit come into the house. If it be like little pigs running around, get on out this door, because this ain't no pig pen, baby. This is the house of God, and it's holy. It's holy. It's reverence unto the spirit of the living God. Don't let nothing come into your house that's not of God. If it comes through your ear gates, if it comes through your eye gates, watch that it don't come out your mouth. Ooh. Hey! We have just got to be a little careful. We hear a gospel of grace and we think it's a license to go and sin. Shut your very mouth, because you've been sinning all along. You didn't need no license before. What makes you think you need it now? That just because you're in church, you saved. There's more lost folks in church than there are out there in the world. Because the ones out in the world know they lost. They know they're lost. You can put the law up to them and say, which one of these have you committed? And they probably say, all of them. Go to the church and they say, oh, not me. I'm under the blood. No, no, no. You committed all of them yourself. Try to act like you haven't done anything. You haven't fallen. You haven't acted up. You know, you act up in church all the time. No? True. Let me get in your business a little bit. Why they got to be running around, jumping around like that? Why they got to jump up on the chair like that? Why they got to be running with all these banners and stuff? We start thinking things like that. Why? That's not you. That's not your nature. That's a judgmental spirit that comes. It's a critical spirit. Guess where it came from? It came from the devil himself. And we've got to be careful about that. Because the more you continue to eat of the fruit of that thing, you become like the sons of the enemy. But if you become like the sons of God, you begin to put the good things inside of you, and you begin to see the good things in people. Amen. Oh, but you don't know what I see. I see some darkness all around you, and I see the spirit. Quit looking at the spirit. Quit it. Jesus himself said, oh, man looks at the outward, but I look at the heart. Amen. The mere fact that you're here today, even in the rain. You know, I was in here earlier today. Rain, go away. Come back some other day. Yeah. Not today, God. Because you know why? Because when it rains, people don't want to get out the bed.
That's right.
When it's gloomy outside, they stay in that state of gloom.
Yeah.
Oh, but this is the day. Yeah. That the Lord has made. Yeah. And that I shall be glad. And it says what? And rejoice. No, rejoice. Re means to reconnect and rejoice. Because you had joy once before, you're going to have it again. Don't lose fact that he already gave you salvation. He already paid the price for you. You're going to rejoice in the joy of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
This is that day.
Thank you,
that very day.
Amen.
That's why you always come out. Don't you just go into like tithes and offering. It's first Sunday of the month. We're supposed to do communion. And you always have to come in and start doing all that. I'm speaking what the Lord is saying.
Amen.
I can go into my teaching and it maybe teach one or two people. Maybe just me. But how about we want to hear what God has to say? I can put all kind of, and I do all these kind of PowerPoints by you. Forget the PowerPoints. All we got to do is just, Lord, speak. Because you said that the desires of our heart, you've put there. And I desire to hear you. Not another sermon, not another teaching. Oh, watch this. And not another prophetic word either. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lord, speak to me. I've been praying and fasting. Lord, you're going to speak. And I know in that quiet time, I know you're going to speak. How is it that when in the quiet time, we don't know how to shut up? Lord, speak to me. Because you know in the silence, you get a little uncomfortable. You get uncomfortable? Let it get quiet in here just 1 minute. 1 minute. One. We can't. Can't. We don't like the silence. Y'all couldn't even last 10 seconds. Y'all start laughing. We don't like it, do we? Guess what? Silence. Silence. Watch it. This is crazy. Oxymoron. Silence is deafening. We don't like the silence. How many of y'all haven't heard from God in a while? Come on, be real. Concerning what you've been praying. Concerning your breakthrough. Oh, no. See, some of y'all, your eyes are like this. Go ahead and turn on the backlights, Minister Oscar. We pray, and then we pray some more. And then we pray again. And then we pray some more. Then we even get creative. That we change the way we pray it, but it's still the same petition that we're asking him for. We figure that, okay, well, I'm not going to babble on about what I need. I'm just going to go out in a different way and say, Lord, bless so-and-so. But you know that, Lord, I need that house that I've been praying for. You know, but just a little reminder for you. Like, you need to remind God. Like, he don't know what you're going through. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. You got about 2 more minutes, Lord. I got to go to work. Speak, Lord, because you know Matt Lauer is going to come on at 7 o'clock, and I got to go watch my Today Show. Speak, Lord. I got to go to the gym. Enlarging my tent has been pretty awesome, but you told me to lean back and get into shape. Speak. It's time for me to go, God. Gotta go. And we can never be still to hear what God has to say. And then watch this. Watch this. And we're driving. Just driving down. And you praying, Lord, give me a sign. You don't pass like 15 signs with his answer for you, but you're not paying attention. Because you think it's got to come with an angel giving you the scroll. Got to have the big old wings and everything to make sure you know it's an angel. You ride the halo and the big old wings. You have found favor with the Lord. And we all want an answer like that. And then all we got to do is just pay attention. But we're so busy, caught up on our iPhones, our Blackberries, all kind of berries and stuff to get you all messed up. Put on my Spotify, my iTunes, my whatever tunes, and just put on. And next thing you know, you don't pass 3 answers that you've been asking for. He's trying to get the answer to you. But we don't pay attention to the signs. Have y'all ever... You almost went there, Daniel. I almost went. I gotta be careful. Whew. Men don't get lost. Men don't get lost. Hear me. We know where we're at. We're in the car. But we don't get lost. We know where we're at. We're on the road, going somewhere, in the car. But men don't get lost. A woman will tell you immediately, go ask for directions. Because they don't want to be in the car that whole time as you getting madder and madder and madder because you can't find it. Go ahead and click on Siri. Siri, take me to this so-and-so spot. Like you got to have another woman tell you where to go. Man, we got it rough. We got it rough telling us where to go. But if we don't pay attention to the signs, we're going to miss it. Because you know, Siri's slow. You don't pass the right, and then as soon as you pass it, take a right. You got to turn back around, and then recalculating, rerouting, take a left. And you get back on course, but it told you to take a left after you got back on course. Now you're going the opposite direction, rerouting again. And you get all messed up. Why? Because you weren't paying attention. Oh, here. Oh, watch this. This is good. I'm just trying to tell you. The trick of the enemy is to get you so dependent on other things other than God. He says, I've given you the signs to get you to where you need to go. And once you're there, do you know that you're there? Do you know that you're there? You can get to a place in your life and not know that you're there. You know why? Distractions. Not even knowing that you're at that very place he wanted you to be, but because it's unfamiliar to you, you don't know that you're there. Because it's unfamiliar to you, it's probably where he wants you. Oh, and because maybe it just so happens to be uncomfortable, is where he wants you. Mm-hmm. And maybe it seems like you're in a cul-de-sac, that it's like a dead end. But when you look at the cul-de-sac, you have a way to get out, but you're looking right at the cul-de-sac, it looks like a dead end. All you got to do is turn around. But he may put you in that cul-de-sac just to keep you waiting for a little bit. Just to wait for a little bit. Just wait. Let me work. Let me work. Get your hands off. Let me work. Don't be God. I'm God. Let me work. And then when he sits you down, he's going to sit you down. And it hurts. It hurts. Come on. I'm going to take you back in the day. Back in the day. I got to go there, Joy. I got to go there. Back in the day when I was in church, you don't fall asleep in church. Because you leave beat up. If you happen to go with your grandma or your mama, see, y'all younger generation, y'all don't know that. Y'all quick. Hallelujah. Ain't that right, mama?
Yes,
that's true. Try falling asleep in church with my grandmother and my mama. Nice and discreet. I love you, mijo. And I pinch so hard right underneath your arm. And you think y'all big and buff. They get you right there. Don't they get you, girl? They get you. And not they don't just pinch you. They twist it. Have y'all ever experienced that? They twist. Hey, don't you make a face at me right now. Just wait. Just wait until we get out of here. And the whole time you get real holy, you start praying now because you don't want to face that. Christian, remember? We used to go in them all the time. Remember this? Oh, I took my jacket. I had my sinsin in there. I used to eat a whole pack of sinsin. Y'all don't know what that is. Some of y'all older folks may know. But sinsin is that licorice, the first breath mint that was ever created. It's some of the nastiest thing that people don't like. I love it. I eat it like candy. Oh, I can eat a whole pack by myself. My grandmother used to get so mad at me because I would eat that whole pack and it was for her. And when she'd go pray for people, give me my sinsin. My whole mouth black, all around here. I don't know why I'm here, girl. I don't know. I didn't even open up my Bible yet. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? But I think we lose sight of the fact we need some mothers. in the house of God again. To help teach the youngsters how to be still. But you know why we're missing it? Because mamas don't know how to be still right now either. And don't even get started on the fathers. Fathers, forget that. Wait too long, daddy get all mad. Look, I've been praying for about 5 minutes and you guys still can't be still? Don't make me go over there and go excuse me, ma'am, excuse me. I'm talking to you, son. No, I'm example. Now y'all here. The kids start looking at you like, uh-oh. I was giving an example. No, y'all are wonderful. Y'all are wonderful. Their face trying to... I wish it... No, listen. Wait, watch it. Sometimes we got to throw some stuff around, right? But we get real mad. Men. Like, because, you know, women, they can handle it. Men get mad. Women get worse. I don't know why I'm right here, but I'm just going to stay. It's okay? Okay. We get real mad. We get impatient. How many of you get impatient? Just be honest. It should be the whole house. If y'all are, we're in church. There's a cross right there. We're going to pray for sinners in the house. But watch it. We get impatient because we don't get what we ask. Right? I've been praying. I'm tired of praying. I don't know how many times I can be creative with my prayer. I'm just tired of praying. I'm through praying. No more. Cricket. And nothing happens. Don't you get tired? Yeah, we get tired. Every single one of us get tired. Why? Because it's personal. It's personal. Mm-hmm. We throw tantrums. Y'all don't throw tantrums? Y'all are holy. Y'all in the... Okay. I'm in the wrong church. Because when I pray, I get impatient. Fast. Lord, you said if I ask in your name, I shall receive. Yeah, he didn't say when. He didn't say, it didn't give a timetable. It didn't say how long you have to wait when you ask. Right? It didn't say it. Get your Bibles. I'm going to just transition to it now. Y'all are like, Pastor, will you just get to the message? Just get to the message. I want to read a scripture so I know I've been in church today. It's hot in here. I think I'm the sinner in the church right now. Whew. All right. If you've been following along the past couple of weeks, you can go to the YouVersion live and you can go in there and it'll say, you can type in the zip code of 78249. And what'll happen, it'll come up and you'll be able to see where prayer with purpose at the house of manna. You see it? No? Get there. Now, prayer with purpose. Say it with me now. Prayer with purpose. Look to your neighbor and say, prayer with purpose. Now look to your other neighbor and say, I've been looking all around, Pastor. Prayer with purpose. Now, this, I'm going to just kind of go through this and I'm going to begin to do a series on prayer with purpose. And you notice I put on there, at the house of manna. At the house of manna. The reason I put that is because I want this church to be a praying church. I want this to be a church. Well, Pastor, y'all are always praying in here. Y'all always pray. I see a big old group of people standing up and they're praying all the time. Next thing I know, they're praying in tongues or they're praying. And sometimes they just sit there and cry because I don't know why they're crying. Obviously, they haven't been through. But I know what it is that when we can get in prayer, we can change the atmosphere. We can change a region. We can change our household. And if we can change our household, we can change a generation. If we can change a generation, we can change a territory. But I find it interesting as I set this up for you. And this is going to be in Luke 11, 1 through 4. So you can go there if you would. If you haven't found it in the YouVersion, go to Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now, Jesus is praying. Jesus is praying. Who's praying? Jesus. He already has his disciples with him. He's got 12 fellas that are following him. 12. Disciples means discipline. To be disciplined. He's teaching them something. But watch this. That I read in scripture is that Jesus never, ever told the disciples to pray, but only when a disciple asked. Who asked? Who asked?
John.
Is it John? Who asked?
Jesus.
No. Jesus didn't ask him. Who asked? What disciple? What disciple asked him? Huh? It's never mentioned. It's never mentioned. The name of the disciple is never mentioned. It's never mentioned. It's always John. Always Peter. What God is going to do here is show us that why in this ministry Jesus never made an importance to teach them how to pray, but only when they asked. Have you ever been trying to teach someone something? And then you know they don't want to learn it because they show no interest in it. But you want to keep forcing it down there. Guess what you're doing? Wasting your time. If they don't want to learn it, they're not going to learn it. You can get a hammer, pound them. No, don't do that. But you can try everything to get into their head and get into their spirit. You ain't going to get nothing up because they don't want it. You first have to desire it, first have to want it, and then you can learn it. So an unnamed disciple said, Lord, he said like that, Lord, Lord, teach us how to pray. He was singing. He was happy. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us. Teacher, how to pray. I find it very interesting that the disciples never named. But he asked the most valid question in history. You can be with Jesus and watch him sleep. You can be with Jesus and watch him pray. You can be with Jesus and watch him walk on water. You can be with Jesus raising the dead. You can be with Jesus healing the sick. But one question that finally comes up in a garden when he's praying is teach us how to pray. I find it very interesting that the disciples finally, maybe there's something to what he's doing. Maybe we need to learn how to do what he's doing. Because without prayer, there is no power. Many preachers used to say, more prayer, more power. No prayer, no power. But I find it very interesting that he asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. Now, let's go through and just break this down. Y'all know the Lord's Prayer, right? Yeah. Is it the Lord's Prayer? Is it the Lord's Prayer? Y'all looking at me like, here's another trick question. What you going to say? Is it the Lord's Prayer or is it the disciples' prayer? It's the disciples' prayer, meaning this is what you should pray. So he gives now an outline. An outline. I'm going to break this down for you so you have a better understanding on how ye shall pray. I'm going to speak in the King James dialect so that you understand that we and the thous and the we and the yea are the ones that are going to pray. Amen? To make it seem like we've been in church. Right? Because you got to have all that the church dialect and the church lingo so you know that you've been in church, right? No? I'm just making sure I'm in my church. Okay. Okay. Luke 11, verse 1. I'm going to read out the Amplified first. Then he was praying in a certain place, and when he stopped, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, semicolon. Y'all see that? Because what I'm about to tell you is very important. Very important. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, held holy and revered on earth as it is in heaven. Give us daily our bread, food for the morrow, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone. I think that's a typo, right? We also forgive everyone. Oh, sometimes forgive some people who... Now, I guess we can't take it out because the Bible tells us not to add or take away. Oh, so that means that this is important, what we read. We're to forgive everyone. Why you had to put that word in there? who is indebted to us. Wait, hold on. That is indebted to us. Now, in other words, you owe me something and I got to forgive that debt. I got to forgive what, you know, what it's rightfully mine. Don't you get, a little perturbed with that? Because, you know, some people owe you some things. Don't look around. Don't look. Do not look at them right now. Who has offended? Oh, now you're going to talk about offense now. Who has offended us or done us wrong? We've got to forgive. Lord Jesus, offense, done us wrong, and we're in church. You notice how he's telling them how they should pray. In other words, I see what's going on among you, but now that you've asked, you need to pray this way concerning you guys, yourselves. And bring us not into temptation, but rescue us from evil. Wait a minute, God, I'm with you. How can there be evil present when I'm with God? Right? Jesus is telling them, this is how you should pray. This is how you should pray. That when evil is present, even when God is there, oh, that you don't fall to that temptation. What? So evil can be present in the presence of God and get you to sin? Oh, Pastor, you're going to start talking about all the sins now. Man, we just finally started getting some folks in the church. Now you're going to start talking about sin. Now they're going to leave. He's teaching them how to pray. But what I want you to do, if you look on the YouVersion, there's a couple of questions that I want you to ask yourself, and then I'll begin to answer them. Why did the disciples ask to pray? Why was it not asked by the high priest or the church council? You don't hear the high priest asking. You don't hear the Pharisees and Sadducees asking. You don't hear any of the church elect asking how to pray. Why is that? Here's the questions I want you to ask yourself. Who asked? Prayer, agenda, and the motivation. Who asked? The reason why I want you to ask yourself that question is, are you asking God to teach you how to pray concerning your circumstance right now? Are you asking him? And then what is your agenda in your prayer? And what is the motivation for your prayer? Okay, I want to get out of the teaching mode. So you mind? I'm going to get out of that. It sounds all stuffy. Just want to just get in a place where I can just speak a little bit and speak my mind. The purpose of the prayer was to show us that we are to pray to the Father who is in heaven and to keep his name holy, reverenced, so that we are to fear the Lord. And what has happened today in the churches and in the world, ain't nobody fear God. And you know why it's worse now? Because grace is all over the place. Oh, but if I sin, I'm covered with the blood. Well, quit trying to sin. How about quit wearing grace out? Grace getting a little tired of saving you, you know, because you keep going down that road that you shouldn't be going down. And you get all mad when you come out of that road and you say, Lord, I've been down this road too many times. Well, quit going down that road. I think they get in the car and they go straight to that place. You know, it's happy hour. I've been working hard. You know, all week I've been working hard. You know, 20 hours. I'm working so hard. I'm tired. I was working 20 hours this week. Like, God, I hate it. 20 hours, Mita? Well, because the corporations don't want to give you, you know, full-time benefits. So you got to work just, you know, part-time. Heaven forbid if you get the 30 hours, then they got to give it to you. And then they cut you back. They lay you off. And then you're like, wait, I just started. But we get tired. What do we get tired of? Doing what we're supposed to do. Just what we're supposed to do. Heaven forbid if it's labor like I told you about Noah. Noah was supposed to build the boat. Remember that? Y'all know that story, right? Noah? Not the one that's at the movie. Has nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the Bible. Don't think you're going to go see Noah. I'm going to go check out this Christian movie. It ain't Christian. It's heathen. Heathen. Oh, it's good for entertainment. But if I read the Bible like the way I read it, I don't need to add nothing to it. All right, I had nothing to it. I just look at it and say, that brother Noah, He had to build a boat and never been near water like that ever. Never been around where he needed a boat to begin with. He'd never seen rain before. And God tells him, it's about to rain. Well, what is rain? What is that? And I don't have the Webster dictionary to go to see what rain is. I'm just trying to help you. I want you to, when you read the Bible, I need you to see some things that you're taking for granted that they had access to. They didn't. Now, watch this. And then he tells them, when we know the story, to build an ark. He gave all these specific dimensions. Got no tape measure. Got no ruler. Got nothing. He's got no picture, because you know how most men put things together. They look at the picture, they don't read the instructions. You know, if Noah would have done that, Ben, that ark would have sank. The way it had the hinges on the doors where the animals would have just come off. If something would have happened, there would have been a hole at the bottom because he didn't realize that there was a plug hole that needed to be plugged. He just, oh, this is extra. We don't need it. Because we look at pictures. We're visual. I'm trying to make a visual for you. But a woman would have been there. I think Noah's wife was there. Say, look. You better start reading these instructions, because that picture don't look like what you're making here. And you need to do it right. And I think Noah was a wise man. That's why he made it. But watch this. There was no Lowe's, no Home Depot. There was no... He didn't have no saw. He didn't have the screw gun, the DeWalt, where you go... Zzz. He had none of those kind of tools. He had to do everything by hand. Hand. He couldn't go to the local store and go get nails. Mm-mm. No, he couldn't even go and get all the stuff he needed, like the caulking and you know, the paint, because it has to look good. He had to work at some things. And it didn't happen right away. Can you imagine how frustrated he was? Are you looking at it? It wasn't like God said, there's all your timber. I already cut it for you. I already brought all the nails that you need. All you got to do is put it together. No, he had to go up there and go do it himself. And it took long, right? So, Pastor, you just talked about this today. Why are you going back? Because we get so tired and frustrated of waiting and going through what we're going through. And then we're asking God, teach us how to pray, God. Because every time I pray, I don't see results. And I'm getting frustrated. And maybe the mere fact that it hasn't happened yet is because you're asking wrong. You're praying wrong. Well, yeah, we can pray wrong. Jesus looked unto his disciples and said, you pray amiss. I mean, well, you missed it. You missed it. Let me show you how to pray. Honor God first. That's what it says. Honor God first. Our Father. Whose Father? Ours. Where is he? In heaven. What's this? What's the next verse? Oh, so his name is holy. And then what's the next verse? What is it? Whose kingdom? His kingdom? God's kingdom come where? Here on earth. Why would he teach the disciples to pray that? Are y'all cold? Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, y'all went from hot to cold. Now, wait a minute. Some bipolar church. We go up, we go down, we just... I got to bring a blanket, then I got to bring a fan. I don't know what I'm doing. But look here. Thy kingdom come. He's teaching the disciples to pray that the kingdom of God is established here. Here. Now, why would he teach them that when he is the kingdom? Don't miss it. Because every time Jesus would say, the kingdom of God is at hand. What was he saying? I'm already here. But he's telling them to pray that thy kingdom come. And thy kingdom is standing right in front of them. I'm already here. But he's teaching them how to pray because he's about to leave. And whose will be done? Whose? God's will, not your will. Not what you want. Not what you're throwing chairs around. Not what you're throwing your tantrums. Not what you're getting on the prayer line telling everybody your business to start praying for you. You know how we get all mad. I've been praying in tongues for like 15 days straight and nothing's happened. I ain't seen no angel show up for me. I've already given up coffee. I've given up all my sodas. Nothing still ain't happened yet. So I'm going to go make sure that everybody's praying concerning my circumstance. You know how we do. We don't text everybody. Please lift up Sister So-and-so because she is going through tough times with her job. She don't like her job. Be happy you got one. That's not how y'all send out text prayer requests like that? Y'all don't do that? You don't tell them, you got a job? You got a job? Celebrate. Celebrate. Because watch, what's the next verse? Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this what?
Daily.
Our what?
Our
daily bread. So you got a job, your bread is coming to the table.
Amen.
Don't be complaining about your job. Don't be complaining about your job. Then you're gonna curse what God has blessed you with. But you don't understand. They're heathens in there. That's why you're there. Thy kingdom come where? In the darkness. Well, I don't like my job because my supervisor's all messed up. They don't believe in God. My supervisor's always getting mad at me. My supervisor don't know how to do this. My supervisor. Well, what about you? Whew. I done lost everybody, Michael. I don't lost everybody. Like, I used to like this church. I don't like this church no more. No, took his jacket off before he even got to the benediction. Yeah, we go through that whole system that this is the way it has to be. You know that, Miss Lisa? You got to come in. You got to give the 3 points. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them what you've already told them. Tell them what they're supposed to already know. And then you're going to do the prayer of closing. Do an altar call. Do the prayer of salvation. After that's done, God bless you. We have prayer partners going to be with you. And they're going to give you a brand new Bible. And you don't even know how to read it. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, Pastor, you're just beating up on the church. Because the church is beating up on us long enough. What you've got to understand is God is saying, I need to teach you about the kingdom mindset. I got to teach you about how it is in the kingdom. And when you have a kingdom mindset, you're going to see some supernatural things begin to work on your behalf. But you got to pray his will, not your will. And when it doesn't manifest, just thank him for the food he's already given you. We're missing the fact that we already got what he gave us. Lord, thank you for my new house. Even though my house, it may have some holes in the roof and it's raining. And well, just take a shower. Get your soap and start taking a shower. Where it's at. Get yourself a bucket. Put that bucket there. Because you know you got all those plants out there. Just use that water that came down from heaven and just put it on your plants. It's the best thing for your plants. But every now and then we just get a little upset because things ain't going our way. I'm sick and tired of all this pollen falling every place. I wash my car. It's yellow. The sooner I get out of there, it's all yellow. And then all this stuff is falling. Once it falls, it comes back again. And when is this whole stuff going to be done with? I'm tired of having to clean up all the time. Huh? You don't get on me. Don't you know I just got me a new car? Look at my paper plates right there. Look, and it's all dirty now. I just washed it yesterday. Thank God you can wash it. Thank God you got yourself a new car. Thank God you got yourself a vehicle that he provided for you. You need to start thanking God what he's given you already. Quit getting mad because you ain't got what you want. Let me remind you, when my wife dropped me and my son off to go eat and walk back to the movies because I ain't got no vehicle. I got the Bata Mobile. And it was nice, girl. We walk back, it's nice, daddy. And then we'd see all these new cars go by. I said, Lord, that's nice, Lord. Me and Josh started looking at all these cars right there. That's a nice one, Josh. Yeah. Yeah. How much further? It looks like it's about to rain, Josh. Rain on me, Lord. And I keep on walking. And I just ate that double cheeseburger. Oh, Lord, you weren't in the room, were you, honey? Oh, Lord Jesus. Mamas find out everything. Oh, that's why your belly was hurting. You were asking for Alka-Seltzer. I asked my daughter, go find him having a pico. I thought your belly hurt. You want pico de gallo? Y'all know about that pico. That pico works. But listen. I'm just walking around. Me and my son are just walking because I ain't got no vehicle. But watch this. I was thankful that I was able to go and have lunch with my son and go to the movies and spend time with my son before I leave out of this place. I'm going somewhere that I have never been. I'm going somewhere that I don't know what to experience. But I will take time with what I've got. And I'm going to enjoy what God has given me. And I'm going to praise him with everything he's already provided for me. It is his will be done, not my will. And if I don't have a vehicle now, it's already on the way. I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about that. I know it's going to come in His timing. His timing. And when it does come, watch out. Watch out. Because I get my closet back. And when I get my closet back, the devil's going to run back to hell. Because he said, you gave him a place of sanctuary from me. And he's going to run. And he's going to get in that vehicle. And he's going to praise God. And he's going to thank God for everything. So in the midst of what you're going through, thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him for what you got. If you got a little bit, thank Him for the little bit. You may not have everything you want, but His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no lack. In heaven, there's no sickness. In heaven, there is no limits. No limits. I may be walking on the automobile, but my automobile is going to overtake me. And when it shows up, when it shows up, when it shows up, I'm going to jump in that automobile. I'm going to ride all over town. And I'm going to say, look at what the Lord has done. Look at what God has done for me. Look, taste, and see what God has done for me. Why? Because I didn't quit in my prayer. I learned to pray His will, not my will. I learned to pray, God, Your will be done. Bring the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Why the kingdom of heaven? Because there's no lack. No lack. Oh, there goes that gospel of prosperity. Well, let me give you the gospel of being broke, poor, busted, and disgusted. Quit. That's what that gospel is. Quit. That's right. Amen. But when God steps in the picture after you quit, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm done with you, Jesus. Guess what happened? It's a boomerang. It comes back and it hits you again. And what happens? A circumstance comes into your life and you got to start praying again. And watch this. Watch this. Now it's no longer your will. It's His will, God. Why? Because He allowed you to go through a season of not seeing anything manifest. Not seeing anything come to fruition. Not seeing anything begin to move on your behalf. But it's moving on other people's behalf. It's moving on the heathen's behalf. It's moving on the people that are not even in church. It's moving on the people that are not even giving their tithes. But all of a sudden now, you begin to step into that place where kingdom is here on earth. And when you step in, every single prayer that you have prayed for every single person that needs to get saved comes into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only that, you begin to see your harvest just come up and grow over you. Oh my God, my. Teach us how to pray. Slap someone, not in the face, just slap, high five somebody and say, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. All right, now stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And I want you to go to somebody you don't know and say, your blessing is on the way. Come on. Your blessing is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Tell them. Your blessing is on the way. Tell them. Your blessing is on the way. Come on now. Come on. Tell them. Come on. Let's make that devil mad. Let's make him mad. He tried to keep you down today. He tried to keep you from getting your breakthrough. He tried to keep you. Come on. Your blessing is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Hallelujah. Your blessing is on the way. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on. Move around. Move around. Tell them. Your blessing is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Tell them. Because what you speak out of your mouth, the angels of God hearken unto the word of the Lord, and they bring it to pass. Yeah, Baba Sakura, Sika Baba 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 Sa. Come on. Your blessing is on the way. It's on the way, man. It's on the way. It's on the way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get us there. Oh,
pressure now. You shifted it. You shifted it. Because something came into your belly. Something took root into your spirit, man. Something is beginning to move where you didn't see any movement before. For you to take hold of it. Get your plane ticket now, baby. Get it ready now. Woo! Woo! I feel a party going on. Hey! Hey! Oh! Come on, don't act on sanctify now. Oh, get that bounce on now. Hey! Come on. You're shame that devil now. Because when you can get your praise on, you can get your dance on, you are stomping on the devil. You're stomping on the devil. You're stomping on the devil. Come on now, lift up your foot and put it right now. You're stomping on the devil. You're stomping on the devil. Come on, you're stomping on the devil. You're stomping on the devil. Come on, you're stomping on the devil. You're stomping on the devil. Come on, don't quit, don't quit. Hasn't he made you mad? Stomp all over him. Crush his very head. Crush his head. Woo!
All right, look. Pastor, we're supposed to have all kinds of just religious sacraments today. We're supposed to have communion. You've been communing with God this whole time. But what I love about this is that he says, I will prepare your table. Your table. I want you to point to yourself. My table has been prepared by my daddy in heaven in front of my enemies. And I get to sit down with my daddy in heaven here on earth to eat of the good of the land that he has given me. Now I want you to understand what you just said is you made a declaration unto the enemy. I don't care what you're trying to throw at me. I don't care what you're trying to devise against me. The Bible says this, that no weapons formed against me shall prosper. Not one weapon. Not one. It don't matter what he's trying to do. Not one. Not one. Some of you are about to experience something. You know when they pull the pin on a grenade and they throw the grenade? The enemy's done that to quite a few of us. But guess what? It's a dud. It's a dud. It's not going to go off. Matter of fact, you're going to walk away from it and you're going to see it go off in the enemy's face. Everything that he meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for your good. He's going to turn it around for you. He's going to turn it around for your babies. He's going to turn it around for the mama and the papa. He's going to turn it around, and whatever the enemy has lied, even in the system, God says that I am the judge, I am the jury, and I am the counselor, and I am the redeemer that lives today, and I will redeem your very son. I will redeem everything that has come against him, and even some of the things that he is, that I am going to redeem him. I am going to redeem him. I didn't ask him to be holy. I'm holy. I didn't ask him to be righteous. I'm righteous. I didn't ask him not to be a sinner. I took on all sin. And I made him white as snow. And you're going to see that the saving hand of God is going to bring the right judgment against the liars that are coming against him. And he's going to see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Y'all ever been someplace where y'all been screaming so much you get a headache?
Yes, right here, right now.
I need some BC powder. Some of y'all don't know that thing goes to work quick. But you don't give the enemy a headache with your praise, your declaration. You've caused confusion in his camp. When you come in heavy into the house of God, but you give it all to God.
Yes.
You leave light. You leave transformed. That your soul is even renewed with new hope. New hope. You may have entered in to a place with no hope. But you got hope, brother. You got hope. Hope. I've called you to be a leader. And you're going to lead the people. Right now you're going through some things and some struggles, man. Look around you. Everybody does. Everybody. But they take advantage of you. They do. Because you're kind-hearted. And you'll stand for others that can't stand for themselves. But they take advantage of you. It's the heart that they're after. God says that you're just like David. You're after his heart. And you're after the heart of the people to encourage them. Don't lose sight of it, man. You be the encourager. You be the encourager. Even when they don't want to listen, you don't have to be all scriptural. Watch this. That religious spirit wants to talk to you and say, no, you've got to know scripture. No, you don't. You got to know him. He is scripture. And once you know him, you can talk to them with real talk. Real talk. And they're going to know, man, how'd you know that about me? I didn't talk to nobody about that. Is this your son? Okay. He's got a prophetic edge about him. You have a discerning spirit, man. Yeah. A discerning spirit that's going to help people get out of where they're at. But you're tired and you're weary. Don't quit. Don't quit. You keep on. Keep on. You've been overlooked a lot of times for certain things that you know you should have had that right to. I said, I'm going to take care of you now. I unlock the gifts of the prophetic and I unlock the gifts of the kingdom of God within you. I call you forth, man of God. I call you forth. You're a man of God. He's going to let you be a child. Man. You're a good man. You're a good man. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Your spiritual daddy's not going to hurt you. Your spiritual daddy's going to lead you. Going to help you. Blessings to you. Blessings. Oh, God is definitely up to something. It's fast. It's fast. Only got to one point. His point. That's it. I thank you all for coming. I do. I thank you. I bless you. It ain't over. It ain't over. Service may be, but the work of God is not over. It's not. When you continue to pray in the manner which God is exalted and his will is done, his will, whoo, your dance ministry is not over. Your dance ministry must be seen. Your dance ministry is what I've called you to do, baby. You dance prophetically and you dance from your heart. Dance for me, says the Spirit of God. Dance for me. You're going to bring a lot of people into the knowing knowledge of Jesus just through your dance. Just through your dance. Your expression is going to come forth from the Holy Spirit. It's inside of you, and sometimes it feels like they're not calling on you. They're not calling on you. But I've given you that ministry so that you can minister unto me and usher the people up into the heavenly realm. The dance that is in you, baby, is going to break off the yokes of oppression and depression off of people's lives. In your dance, you're going to sing, and you're going to sing unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. I made you, says God, for such a time as this. Such a time as this. You just walk in there, baby. Walk in there. If you say, hey, crazy Mexican dude, can I dance? Sure. I'm about letting all the gifts work unto the kingdom of God. I know that God is up to something. The Bible says in the last days, the last days. We've been in the last days for I don't know how many hundreds of years. Oh, Jesus is coming. Jesus is already come and gone. But when he returns, there ain't no looking back and say, oh, maybe later, Jesus, not now. You ain't going to have that chance. Now's the time to get it right. And I ain't saying to make it right. I said get it right. Get what right? Get him in you. Get that relationship together. Learn how to spend time with Jesus and pray. Learn how to spend time with Jesus and commune with him. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with him and watch what he's about to do. Watch. Watch. He's going to do it. Because he promised it. Because he promised it, came out of his mouth. It will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. The mere fact that the word was sent into your life is going to accomplish it. It is going to accomplish it. He just did not say when. So don't get like me and get all frustrated and mad. Don't get like me and throw your tantrum. Don't get like me and start getting mad after God. But I do read in the Bible where it says that Jacob got mad and he wrestled with God. He wrestled. He wouldn't let go until he got blessed. Until he got blessed. Put your hand on her heart, please, Colleen. In the name of Jesus, that's not her heart. In the name of Jesus, I speak to the wound, to the very wound. Hold on, hold on. To the very wound. And I'm here to declare unto you that you're going to experience even more of the love, the faithfulness, the unconditional love. And he is going to change something that has caused the friction. And it's going to be removed. And that very spirit that tries to divide is about to be removed. And you're going to experience the joy in your heart with peace and no fear. No fear. No fear. No fear. Because I have laid my hand on you, says the Spirit of God. And out of you, watch this, out of your belly will come a nation of praise, worship, and a warrior. A warrior. Be at peace, beloved. Because what you so desire is coming to you. And yes, you will be a good mother. Now, you're looking at me like, Pastor, I don't want to get pregnant right now. I'm young. I want to finish school. I don't want to do it right now. I'm speaking to your spirit. And I'm speaking into your heart. And I'm telling you, do not fear the love. Do not fear it. Give it all. Empty of yourself into someone. Because God is going to let you experience joy. Joy. That when that proper time comes in that very season, you're going to feel the movement. And that movement in your belly, you're going to think it's the baby. It's the Spirit of the living God getting ready to deliver you out of that bondage that you have carried for a very long time. and you didn't even know it was there. God is getting ready to uproot it right now, and you're not going to feel any type of rejection. You're not going to feel any kind of abandonment. You're going to know that I have placed you in this place for such a time as this, and you're going to experience the power of God unto salvation, not just unto your soul, but unto the saving grace of God to that very heart. And things are going to turn around, and you're not going to overthink it. You're going to see it come to pass. I bless you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Be at peace. Be at peace, beloved. In an atmosphere where you guys come in excited and charged and expecting, all kinds of prophetic can happen. All kinds of miracles can happen. But it doesn't have to happen through me. You guys can do it. Don't get me tired. You get to working too. You get to start laying hands on folks. And if you got a word for somebody, there is order. Say, you know, this is how you do. Let me teach you. I've got a word for you, but let me get someone to hear what I have to tell you, and never do it alone.
Amen.
And as you begin to speak, there is now accountability on what is said, so nothing can be twisted, so the enemy can't twist it. Amen. And when you get accountability like that, guess what happens? That the word comes under that order, and it becomes to work in your life because you subject that word to accountability. We don't want no loose cannon prophets out there, especially in here. In any church that you attend, you don't want that. If they're going to pull you aside, watch this. I've seen this many times. And you're going to arrest him. I got a word for you. You're going to wait till I come out. You ain't got to take me aside and give me a word. You're going to wait till I get someone to hear what you got to tell me. It's not just my ear. Somebody else's ear is going to hear it too. So they can judge the spirit in which it's being delivered. I don't know why I went there, but I'm going there. You've got to know who's speaking into your life. And I know we have some visitors in the house. I pray your family. I feel family in here. Can I just be real transparent with you? Real transparent? Miss Joy, where's Miss Joy? Miss Joy, haven't I prayed? Miss Katrina, where's Miss Katrina? And Jackie, haven't I prayed for some soul? I've been praying for some soul in the house. Because I tell my sisters back there, you know your pastor's really not Mexican. I'm black. I say it. Now, listen, and I know you probably have a place of worship. I invite you to come anytime. It's welcome. We don't take membership here. But I pray you got blessed today. I do. I play a lot in here. I pray you got blessed. That if you do go back to your place of worship, just deposit what you received. Don't be a taker, be a giver. I ain't talking about your money. Oh, no. Give of your spirit into the atmosphere and watch what will happen unto the man or woman of God that you attend and who's your shepherd. If I so happen to be your shepherd, y'all just need to pray for me because I'm a little off. But I thank you for coming. And I bless you guys. I bless you. I thank you very much for coming. And if you've been here before and I don't recognize you, forgive me. Forgive me. It took me a long time to remember his name. Did it not? I used to, Danny. It took me a while. I'm that way. That's just me. And watch. And I have said this before. I've gone to people giving the word three times the same word. And they're like, you already told me that. I did. Okay. And I don't realize it. And then I back away. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But watch this. It's the same word three times.
Amen.
Have you ever get a word given to you more than once? Because you're not listening. Okay, let me stop. Okay, now listen. We're going to do our...